Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes when I sit down and when I rise.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fiery divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, we instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, who may be truly wise, never joyous, in this consolation through the same Christ our Lord. O Lady Fatima, St. Joseph, Father Lanteri, St. Ignatius, God's Korean martyrs, pray for us. The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way the wildflowers grow. They do not work or spin. But I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, what are we to eat? What are we to drink? What are we to wear? All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil. The Gospel of the Lord. We had to summarize that biblical passage. It's one of the key themes of what we've been reading and studying the past couple of years. And it's God wants us not to worry, but God wants us to trust him. God wants us not to worry, but to trust him. In few days we're going to be celebrating the feast day of Padre Pio, who's a great modern saint. Both he and the Curia of Ars said, God forbids us to worry. God commands us to pray. I repeat, God forbids us to worry, and God commands us to pray. Have you ever worried? So by worrying, you're going to resolve your problem, right? You know, there are some people that are born worry warts. They really are. And if they go through 24 hours where they don't have anything to worry about, then they worry about that at the end of the day. Right? There are people like that. Is that they feel that they have to worry, and you heard me read it. Jesus says it more than once. We have to not to worry about the lilies of the field or the birds of the air or what we're going to eat or drink. Pagans worry about that. And he goes on to point out that look at the birds. The birds don't worry what they're going to eat. Never seen a bird flying to a psychologist, have you? I haven't seen one yet, no? Or the lilies of the field. I've never seen them going to Macy's or Nordstrom's, no? They're dressed in regal attire that they don't even have to go to Macy's or Nordstrom's or 99 cents, huh? Because God is the one that buys their clothes, right? He's the one that knows how to ornament or decorate them in the beauty. I think all of us want to trust God more. Do you agree with that? I think we're all struggling with that. And the trust is really related to the trials that will come into our life, and we really trust that God will get us from one part of the lake to the other by walking on it with Him. You know, Lupe, you've read the life of John Bosco. You probably don't remember this. Our Lord appeared to him at the end of his life and said that if you were to have had more trust, a million souls more would have been saved. Wow. John Bosco. Of everything I read on the life of Bosco, one of the things that always kind of struck me most is that John Bosco could have had greater faith and trust. It seems almost impossible if you read a lot, you read his life. No? So God's power in our life is in direct proportion to our love of Him and our trust of His providential plan. God takes us by the hand, and He's not going to ask us to fly if we don't know how to fly. He's not going to ask us to sprint if we've never run. He's not going to ask to walk if we've never walked. He maybe wants us to crawl. I don't know. But God takes us where we're at. So let's try to live out. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be given to us besides. Okay, that's our biblical reflection. So let's go back to our text, And last class we spoke about trials, right? Remember? I gave you various reasons why trials that God sends us can be beneficial. Did you have any trials this week? Not any? Well, they'll come. Be patient, okay? We all have to be motivated by supernatural means and God's grace to be able to take advantage of the trials that God visits us with. So I'd like to move from 166 to 167. And read it, stop, and reflect upon it. So we read today, November 1932. I arrived at Warsaw for the third probation. After a cordial meeting with the dear mothers, I went into the chapel for a moment. I'd like to make a brief comment on that. Whenever you come here or to a Catholic church or to a convent, or to a chapel, make it a habit, even if you're busy, make it a habit to make a visit. Even though it's a short visit, make it a habit to make a visit. Some of you are here in the church in the parish. Some of you here sometimes almost all day or all morning, no? Eric, were you here most of the morning?
I was.
From when to when?
Oh, geez, I got here at a little bit before 8, and I went home this afternoon, probably around 2 or 3.
So he was from 8 to 3, so he was about 7 hours here. He gave his course on discernment, had a lot of people showing up, a huge success. I was praying for him, and I really believe God has blessed him abundantly. But he's spending, you know, a good block of time here. And some of you do that. Some of you, Mary's here, or sometimes I think Elvira's here. Several people here spend a couple hours a day. In between activities, it's a good idea to maybe stop to make a short visit. And I really encourage you to do that. And the visit might be 3 minutes. Okay, I'll tell you what I sometimes do. Sometimes, you know, I'm probably just as busy as you are. I'll come in, I'll kneel down, and I will say the Hail Mary. And then when I say Jesus, I'll say, I love you, Holy Mary, Mother of God. So I make a spiritual communion. That's done in 2 minutes. It only took 2 minutes. Genuflection, kneeling down, saying the Hail Mary. There are many ways you can make a spiritual communion, but I've taught you before, it can be made sandwich in between the two parts of the Hail Mary, and you're igniting. In other words, you're fanning the flame. I think we have to work on having a constant, dynamic love for the Eucharist. It tends to decline, but if we keep doing that on a daily basis, our love for the Eucharist is going to grow and grow and grow, to such extent that we'll be consumed by love. We can die the way the Blessed Mother died according to the mystics. Mary died of love. An excessive outpouring of love came from her heart. Her body could not contain her soul anymore because she loved God so much that her body, the dormition, Mary falls asleep, and then her soul flies to heaven, takes flight to heaven. And then her body will be taken up to heaven to be with her soul. That's called the Assumption. I think people like you should be experts in the Eucharistic visit. And a good number of you are directing people, or you're being directed. That could be part of your conversation with your directee. What is your relationship with the Eucharist? Now, if you want a more extensive format or prayer for the Eucharistic visit, probably the best is St. Alphonsus Liguori, Visits to the Blessed Sacrament. St. Alphonsus wrote on almost everything. But you got a little booklet where we have Visits to the Blessed Sacrament. Take advantage of the writings of the doctors of the church. Don't disregard or discard these gems that are written by someone like St. Alphonsus. Or if you like it, you go to the Catechetical Office, the Confirmation. It's a bit lower quality. But a booklet that I wrote on 15 different titles for Jesus, and you might just take one of those and spend a couple minutes just going through. I wrote a little booklet for the confirmation students on the different titles we have for Christ. The Good Shepherd, the Bread of Life, our Friend, the Son of God, Son of Mary, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, the Alpha, the Omega. There's so many different titles we have for Christ. St. Faustine would say that one of the ways we can get to know God better is by meditating upon his attributes. Christological titles are related to the attributes, but the attributes, they describe who Christ is. So that's one point that I gleaned when I was meditating upon this passage this morning. Invite you people to go deeper in your visits to the Blessed Sacrament. I'm insisting that the parents of catechism children, they do that. And insist that the parents, after they finish their class with me, take your little child in front of the Blessed Sacrament, make a genuflection, kneel down, and, you know, Maggie's a teacher, so am I. You try to be as simple as possible, right? Such a way, when you're talking to the child, sometimes you're captivating the mother more than the child because of your simplicity. That's my style. Simple as possible. Kneel down, right in that little circle. Okay, you call it a monstrance, but try to explain what it is. You got, when the priest lifts up the host and asks, that bread is not bread, it becomes Jesus. Okay, you see that beautiful picture of divine mercy? That looks like Jesus, but that's a painting. But really, in that host, that's Jesus. So the child at Pun, finishing a couple years of catechism. We're not going to have prolonged that pure research study where 70% of the Catholics don't even believe the Eucharist. We've got to fight against that. I don't know about you people, I feel very uncomfortable with that. Very uncomfortable with that. 70% of Catholics don't believe in the Eucharist. Kind of scary, huh? I'm kind of battling with that. You know why? Because, like in this parish, once the child is in First Communion, by the time we finish those 2 years, he's probably going to hear it 1,000 times. How could it be such? Because I say it, the catechist says it, you know, reading in the catechism book. How could one not believe? It must be diabolic. What I'm saying now is not to be disparaging, but maybe totally retarded? I don't know. Not difficult to understand, okay? It could be the devil. You know, the parable of the sower and the seed, that the birds come and they swipe it away. Maybe because of materialism and so many other competitive things, they forget. But you know, from experience, the fact that seeing my mom and dad kneeling down after Holy Communion, I never forgot that. Seeing my mom and dad after closing their eyes for 5 minutes and I don't know if you saw your parents do that. I never forgot that. I saw that every Sunday for years. That's the power of example. Okay, here's a theological question for you. And I'll launch it out and I'll let you pray over it. Okay, I just finished celebrating Mass. Okay, I exposed the Blessed Sacrament. The people knelt down. But they were sitting down before. Was that a good gesture or a bad gesture? I kind of battle with that. Can I explain myself? They received communion. Where was Jesus? Like if I were a layperson, I probably wouldn't have knelt down because I got Jesus within me. So I was kind of battling with that at the end of the Mass. I didn't have enough time to give a long theological explanation. You understand? Yes. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but if I receive communion, I mean, I sat down to make about 5 minutes Thanksgiving. It's kind of a tricky theological question, no? But If I were a layperson, I would not kneel down because I already have Jesus within me. And I would have my eyes closed, and I would be adoring him and worshiping him until the priest says, let us pray. Got me? So I think too much, no? But they didn't do anything wrong. On the contrary, I think it's kind of beautiful. But if you're keenly aware of the fact that you have the Eucharist within you. I would just think, close your eyes and don't be looking at me. Father's had a tough day, he's tired. No, close your eyes and what you should be doing, if you don't know what to say to Jesus, I can teach you if you want. Say the divine praises. That book, Ad Sine Jesu, says we're called to praise God. Okay, pray the prayer of Ignatius. Solo Christ, sanctify me. Pray, glory be to the Father. Isn't that principle and foundation we're called to praise God? Praise Him. Let me just finish. Soul of Christ, I think that that's beautiful. My brother Mike in Orlando, Florida, we probably met him a couple of times. The pastor in Orlando, after communion, there'll be a little bit of silence, and then he prays publicly the soul of Christ sanctify me. So the people in the parish, they pray it. So when I see my brother Mike for those 10 days after communion, I'll say that, and I can tell he likes that. And then he'll say it, and I think a couple of my siblings, graduate from Steubenville, they know it too. But also, after you've said those formal prayers, shouldn't you simply say, Jesus, I love you? Hello? You know, that might be the best prayer in the whole world. Maybe just say it over and over again. Or you might say, Lord, I love you, but I want to love you more. And then, you know, should you thank God? Should you?
Yes.
So you're just abounding in thanksgiving. Okay, then you have a Lord. Okay, there's something heavy weighing on your heart. Maybe you heard my YouTube this morning. Come to me, all of you. I just love to do that every 2 weeks. Nope. I love to invite the people. I show an image of the Sacred Heart. Come to me, all of you. Okay, now unload. If I have something that's bothering me, I'll say those prayers. But I say, there's something kind of really heavy in my heart. And it's almost as if I hear him say, well, I'm within you. Tell me about it. Thanks, Lord. You know, this is kind of bothering me. I've got someone in the hospital that I'm worried about that person. Don't worry. Thank you, Lord. Give them to me. You're just unloading. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's really difficult for Americans. Sometimes you can do this. Just close your eyes and in silence rest in His presence. For Americans, we tend to be very active. It goes against the grain. And you've probably never done that yet. In which you can allow the Lord just to work in you the way He wants to work. But I really want to develop that theme more and more because we receive the Eucharist and I really feel we could receive so many more graces than we're receiving. I think we're touching the tip of the iceberg, even as priests. I'd like to make a longer Thanksgiving, but no, I've got to be with you people now. I remember as a 20-year-old when I came back from the university, I was already thinking about becoming a priest on vacation. Sometimes I'm going to go to Mass. I'd come an hour before the Mass and spend an hour after Mass. So late an hour Thanksgiving, an hour preparation. I was about 20. Obviously, that's a grace, no? And when I got up to go home, I would apologize to the Lord, saying, Lord, I'm sorry I can't give you more time. I know the 2 hours is not that much for you.
When I grew up, I was taught that we had to bow our head after we went to communion.
Yes.
That was a sign of reverence to God.
Yes.
So I'm kind of...
Bow your head after communion.
Yes.
Well, a lot of people don't because sometimes, maybe I shouldn't either. Sometimes I'll open up my mind to see if people are, scratching their head or yawning. Because I'm the head, the priest is the head of the liturgy, you know. But usually, I've tried to do my best. I just want to talk with the Lord now. If you don't want to talk with the Lord now, it's up to you. But I want to spend some time with Him, quality time with
the
Lord.
Said.
You're not supposed to bend your head?
Yeah, that we shouldn't just bow down, that we should do something else.
Well, the key is this. My point is recollection. Yes. However you recollect it best, if kneeling down is best for you, or sitting down is best for you, or even maybe you're in the back of the church, you've got a problem with your back, you just want to stand up. Whatever posture is more propitious so that you can enter into deep dialogue with the Lord. I see posture as secondary. You've been with me many years. Very rarely did I talk about posture, nor did Teresa of Avila. Whatever posture fosters deepest union with the Lord, then fine. If you find after communion, real kneeling down, you really feel you're really recollected, spend all the time. But you know, you've had back problems, maybe you can't kneel down because of your back. And as you're sitting down, you really feel you can be more attentive. You're kneeling down, you're only thinking about your back pain, no? That's kind of defeating the purpose. And I think in catechesis, even dealing with people, we have to try to foster making better communions. And it depends upon preparation, the reception, and then the thanksgiving. Some of you, you know, you can't spend an hour in preparation because you have to work. Some of you can't spend an hour in thanksgiving because also you have responsibilities. No? But there's no more important moment in your life than when you receive Holy Communion. And it's interesting, giving classes for many, many years, when I talk about this topic, people that are living in free union, or maybe in adultery, or maybe living a lifestyle that is not in harmony, if I can see they're really fidgety when I'm talking about this topic. Why? Because they know that I'm preaching the truth, and they're clinging to some sin. You have to maybe get up and go to the bathroom. They got ants in their pants. They have to maybe send a text message. You know, I'm not dumb. I pick up the vibes. No, because they're not at peace with their conscience, and I'm kind of, as we say, I'm cutting close to the bone. Maybe even hitting the bone. Whereas someone like you, me talking about this topic, you relish it, don't you? You relish it, and I relish to talk about this topic. And I really believe if I were to, I had to give a homily on the Eucharist and the Mass every Sunday for a whole year, I could easily give a homily. Every homily is going to be very different. Just on the topic of the Eucharist and the Mass. It's so very rich. Now, one of the greatest things you people can do is to, first of all, pray and fast and do penance, but bring someone back to the church that has drifted away. Bring someone back to the church that has drifted away. I notice as a priest, I mean, I see it every day. Just tons, a lot of people. Maybe the numbers are going down a little bit in the catechism groups, but not the confessional lines. Oh boy, they're getting longer and longer and longer, which I think that's pretty good. Because when all is said and done, conversion comes to a confession. You try to change just by yourself, you're only going to arrive at a certain point. But you try to change in relying upon the grace that comes from confession, it's like light years difference. You know, the Pelagian believes that he can change by himself. A little bit. It's really God that changes us. Okay, expounding upon this even more. It might not be a bad idea when you're making your holy hour to make your holy hour in function of preparing yourself to receive the Eucharist. Hello? So you're receiving the, or you're making your holy hour before Mass, you're meditating, and you're giving to the Lord your thoughts, your intentions, your desires, your aspirations, all that. You're giving that to the Lord. So that when you come to Mass, what's happening is you've already been loading the altar with so many different intentions, so that when you receive the Eucharist, you've already loaded the altar with so many intentions, and your communion is going to be much more efficacious. Much more. You hear me? You do that? Yeah. Good. Great. I don't think anyone could have seen the movie Il Gran Milagro, which came out about 8 years ago. I don't think anyone could have seen that movie with open heart and not be motivated to do what I just said. That movie really helped me out a lot because I would try to, you know, offer some intentions, but once I saw that, I felt that, wow, there's much more. The first was the souls in purgatory. You know, pray for the conversion of some family member. Pray for your own. I call it the heart transplant. Every Mass has infinite value. Do you know why Andrew, Kim, and Paul, what's Chung, was it? Why? Do you know where they died, Jaime? The principal reason?
He was trying to sneak in the priest.
So they're trying to sneak priests in because in Korea, you know, it was really strict, and there were priests in China. So Andrew studied in China. Was ordained in China, and he went, but he was Korean. And both of them were trying to get more priests into Korea. They didn't have priests for many, many years. Why? What? So that they could receive the Eucharist. So that in a certain sense, they were martyrs for the Eucharist, martyrs for the priesthood. Yeah. Yeah. Mary, why did St. Margaret Clitheroe die?
For priests to bring the sacraments to the people is exactly where she died.
Okay, Margaret Clitheroe, you've heard me talk about her. She was crushed to death underneath a heavy door and stones because she couldn't live without the priesthood and she couldn't live without the Eucharist. Once Mother Teresa was invited into either was it communist or an atheistic country, and the government allowed her, she said only one, under one condition, which would be? What?
I bring a priest with me.
Otherwise, if Jesus is not coming, I'm not going anywhere. Well, Jesus is present in the priesthood and the Eucharist. No? These are the saints, our older brothers and sisters that are praying for us, right? So this very short sentence, it triggered, sometimes for me it's just one sentence enough to trigger a whole the hour, one idea. And Ignatius says it's not that you have to always read a lot, but to relish interiorly the truth. Spanish, saborear la verdad, to savor the truth. For me, the Eucharist, having teaching confirmation. I had class on Thursday and Friday. I've got, you know, close to 40 students each time, 30 to 40 students, huge classes, no? And when we do the attendance for the Thursday class, about 70% of the boys didn't go to Mass on Sunday. It's kind of alarming, isn't it, no? Parents can make the connection that, you know, if you're going to take them to, shouldn't they go to Mass too? Sometimes it's even, I mean, we as priests, we have to study philosophy. One of the courses is we got to study logic. you got to use your head. G.K. Chesterton, the apostle of common sense. Huh? It would seem to me to be common sense, no? Or dropping off your little kid for catechism, or drop off your little kid to Mass and then come and pick him up for Mass an hour and 10 minutes later. Is there something wrong with that? That happens. No? It's in a disconnect of logic. No? It was J.K. Chesterton, that theology produces logical thinking. Okay, so let's read a little bit more. There's a Eucharistic meditation for you, to motivate you to go deeper. And all the people you should bring, every month, bring someone to the church. Can you do that? Hello?
Yes.
Can you at least try?
Yes.
I'm going to try to beat you out. I'm going to aim for at least every week. I've always been very competitive. Pray for the grace. Okay, every month, Lord, I beg you for the grace to meet someone in my family or at work that I can encourage him to come back to the church. Bring a bulletin of St. Peter Chanel. Okay, schedule. Divine Mercy card. An examination of conscience. A rosary pamphlet. And a rosary, hey, a whole packet, okay? Tell him, if you come to church, I'll give you that, okay? It's called spiritual bait, right? I think you people can. Don't underestimate your apostolic capacity. I think we settle for little. Aim high. Now, if you really aim high, you'll at least hit purgatory, right? If you aim super high, maybe you'll hit the lower regions of heaven, right? And for the stars, hey, who knows? Maybe you'll hit that star and stardust will fall down from heaven to earth, huh? Aim high. Amen?
Amen.
After a cordial meeting with dear mothers, I went into the small chapel for a moment. So it was a short visit. And you read the diary, she's constantly, after the meal, I make a visit. And often in that moment, even though it's a moment, Jesus was waiting for her for all eternity, for that moment. It's true. That moment Jesus had planned for all eternity, that visit. Jesus is waiting for you too. For all eternity. Don't let him down. I went to the small chapel. Okay, suddenly God's presence, it's called the real presence, right? The real presence. God's presence filled my soul. And I heard these words. So what I see is, you've seen those, Mary's made copies of the picture of Jesus standing up and Faustina kneeling down. And you see emanating a refulgence of God's glory. It's like the sun rays are just flowing from her heart, and she's bathing that. Now, if you go and find the Blessed Sacrament with goodwill, that's happening. So the light of God's glory is entering into you, and it's penetrating you, it's permeating you, it's imbuing you. It's like if you've ever been to the East Coast where we have chimneys. You ever seen a chimney? Do you have those in the Philippines? You probably don't, because you don't. Well, on the East Coast, you got chimneys, and it's not simply a decoration. We use chimneys, no? And more than one. I remember I'd have to thaw out in the middle of winter, no? You know, 10 degrees below zero, and you've been walking through the snow, snowball fight or whatever. You go in front of that chimney, man, that's heaven on earth almost. You're kind of, first year, you have to thaw out. I mean, you're freezing. And after 15 minutes, you know, you're heated up, you're warm. You might come in the presence of the real presence, you're kind of cold, and you leave, and there is fire. The fire. Jesus said, I've come to cast fire on the earth, and not at peace until that fire be enkindled. Did you ever notice the artistic depictions of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart? Any artists here? What do you notice? What are the different artistic details? You see a light? Do you see thorns? Do you see blood? Do you see fire? What does fire symbolize? It symbolizes love. Isn't that what came on the Apostles' Pentecost? Fire, tongues of fire. So just being in the presence of Christ with goodwill, the fire of his love is already been shooting out at you. Don't duck, no. Let that fire ignite your heart with the same fire. Come to cast fire on the earth, and not at peace until that fire be kindled. And then, God's presence filled my soul, and I heard these words. Now, sometimes people come to me, because we're kind of the chief spiritual directors, even though you lay people have maybe more than us, but we're the kind of the chief spiritual directors, and they'll say that God spoke to them. I wonder what Mary and Eric and the directees will say in response to that. I know what I say. And they'll say, well, where does this come from? And I'll say, okay, as a result of that, did you find yourself more patient, more kind, more loving, more mortified, more pure, more meek? They say, no, I've been more, as a result, I'm more puffed up, I'm more proud, I'm more crotchety, more impatient with my, and I don't think that came from the good spirit at all. Jesus says, you know the tree by its fruits, right? So that's usually what I say when people, you know, speak to me about their dreams and their visions and their locutions. No? Why are you laughing out of here? It happens. A lot of them come to me with, you know, St. Fulgentius of Ruspe talked to me last night, okay? Father, I know you have a great devotion to St. Fulgentius of Ruspe. You probably have a statue of him in your room, right? Isn't he one of your favorite saints, Elvira? in the case of St. Faustina, you got the real deal. So every time we're reading the italics in black, that's Jesus speaking. So these are called locutions. Locutions would be what? An interior voice of God speaking within. Then sometimes we got visions, which would be Jesus appearing in one way or another outside, and she can see him in a corporeal way. So what are these words? My daughter. Is that important, my daughter? Say anything to you? Spend a whole hour on that, no? You are a daughter of God. Wow. My daughter. It's not just, hey, you. Mm-hmm. In the Argentinian way, they say, che. Come on. Some anonymous che. No, no. But my daughter. I desire that your heart be formed after the model of my merciful heart. Wow. I think right now Jesus is saying that to all of you right now. And to me. Do you believe it?
Yes.
I think that's the message tonight for all of us. Try not to fake that you didn't hear me, okay? Yeah, God is speaking to you through that. Okay, the $100 question, what's the easiest way for that to become a reality? If you don't respond, you're going to cast me into desolation. Of course. Communion, right? You receive Holy Communion, you receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. The most noble part of the human person is his intellect is important, but even more his heart. You receive Holy Communion, you receive the merciful heart of Jesus. Here's another question. We're all wounded, right? We all have wounds. Do we have to stay in our wounded, or in our woundedness? I think most people, they seek refuge in their woundedness. And I think it's wrong. It's usually pride. They don't want to get out of their woundedness. Over the past couple of years, I've been meditating upon this. Certain themes come back to visit me. So let's develop this, okay? We're all wounded because of original sin and personal sin and family problems, professional problems. We're all wounded, no? Okay, did Jesus ever heal anyone? The blind? The deaf? Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Some of you said what? Okay. The blind, the deaf, the mute, the leopards, the lepers. I think you said a leopard. Okay, lepers. How about the paralytics? How about the withered hand? No? Man with a withered hand? How about a woman with a flow of blood for many years? No? How about even the dead? Did Jesus heal, the saints meant it, paulatinamente? Did he heal gradually or did he heal quickly? Okay, there's only one case in the gospel where it seems that Jesus' healing is gradual. Do you remember? The healing of the blind man is that he put spittle and mud over his eyes, and he opened up his eyes and he's kind of seeing trees walking, and then he goes to the pool and he washes, he's able to see clearly. And there's a lot behind that. But aside from that, when Jesus is healing, it's instantaneous. All the other cases that I know of. Let's take it one more step. So Jesus is 2,000 years. Jesus is getting weaker, right? So his power is becoming weaker in time. He's losing some of his strength because of the years that pass. So Jesus is just as strong now as 2,000 years. As a spiritual doctor, he's just as potent today as he was 2,000 years ago. So could it be the people that are wounded could be healed quickly? The obstacle is our own resistance. I don't want to be a simpleton, overly simplistic, but I think that's worthy of meditating upon. One of the writings of St. Ambrose, who baptized St. Augustine, has always struck me. He says that Jesus has a lot of people that are in bed, wounded, and in convalescence, and has very few foot soldiers to walk and march with him. That's St. Ambrose. Interesting, isn't it? This is 1,600 years ago. What he's saying is this. The many sinners that are they're wounded, but they don't really have a desire to get out of the bed, but live in a state of woundedness. Because there are very few that are willing to, they've been wounded, but they've gotten up. Christ has healed them, and he's walking side by side with them. Fighting, walking, marching, preaching, teaching, healing, exercising. Hopefully we're in that group. And you've been with me many years in the exercise. I think we should have arrived at that. Maybe we fall, but nunc cepi. Don't stay down. Fall, bounce back. Nunc cepi. You know, there's a couple of biblical phrases that refer to animals that are pretty graphic, and you know, the dog returns to his vomit. You ever hear that? Pretty strong, isn't it? What does that mean? You know, the sinner has a temptation to want to return to his sin. Or a sow wallows in his mire. Know what that is? Sow would be, I think, a female pig. It wallows in its mire. Put those two images in your room, huh? No? Pretty graphic, huh? But the message is pretty clear. We don't want to be that dog. We don't want to be that pig, do we? No, we want to be clean and and free to follow Christ. So that's the message, says heart to be formed after the model of my merciful heart. Are you merciful? Hello? Alma? Well, the fact that you can admit that you struggle with it is actually very good. It's good to have people, you know, Father, I struggle with it. You know, people knock me down and I struggle with it. And I think in a certain sense we're all in that category, but we have to really try to be merciful. And Jesus says, be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. Has it ever happened to you recently over the past couple of years? You read the gospel and you feel uncomfortable with it? Be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. Wow. And it's not a conditional, but it's an imperative. It's a command. But if we receive absolution, we receive the Eucharist, we've got the Son of the Father within us. The Son of the Father is within us through the Eucharist. Right, Martha? And then it says, you must be completely imbued with my mercy. You give me a synonym for imbued? I got a good one for you, Maggie. Saturated. Yes. Alvaro, you like to translate? Empapado, right? Good translation? You know, imbued. I mean, you're saturated in God's mercy. So it's not just a little bit, but you're doused with God's mercy. You must be completely imbued with my mercy. So someone is aggressive toward you, angry, corajudo, you know, and you respond by giving them a smile and praying for that person. It's not easy, is it? No. But it's possible. On a supernatural plane. And often when that happens, the person is so disarmed that the person starts to melt. Right, Lucy? They start to melt. So instead of getting more and more angry, the person, it's like taking a hose and putting out a fire. It's possible, but only on a supernatural plane. Because on a natural plane, what is it? Eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Right? You've done me wrong. Okay? Even Stephen. But on a supernatural plane, what did Jesus say? If someone asks you to walk a mile, to walk 2 miles, huh? If someone smacks you on the cheek, turn the other. If someone asks for your cloak, give them your shirt as well, huh? This is all in the Sermon on the Mount. So my friends, all of this is possible with the help of God's grace. Amen? So let's turn to the Blessed Mother. We call her Mother Mercy, right? Let's ask Mary that we'll be able to understand and live out mercy more and more each day. We can end by praying the Hail Holy Queen. Hail Holy Queen, Mother Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry for banished children indeed. Thee do we send up by our side. mourn and weep in the valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, your eyes of mercy towards us. And after this erection, show unto us the blessed fruit of Jesus. O clement, O loving, and most gracious. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God.
The Lord be with you. May
God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hello, this is International Catholic Singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.